The Grow My Cleaning Company podcast helps owners of cleaning companies just like you to grow your company and yourself so you can make more money and finally get the time and money freedom that probably got you into this business. Discover how to automate and create systems that allow you to grow like crazy without losing control. If you dig the show and want to show some love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes. It really helps. Enjoy the show. Hey, Clean Nation, Mike Campion here with part two with Tracy. If you haven't listened to part one, I would start there. We were really, I feel like, in just such a good discussion around the beliefs that will help or hurt you, the stories that we tell ourselves that keep us cleaning, the stories that you need to tell yourself to get out of cleaning forever. And I just didn't feel like we did it justice. So we're literally doing a take two. So I think one of the big things that I wanted to hit that we'd missed, Tracy, we talked about this a little before we kind of went on air, is I don't even try and reframe it. Tracy was talking. I literally said, oh, stop. We have to start the podcast. This is like too good. So I'm not even going to frame it. Just rewind best you can exactly what you're saying. And let's just start there.
Okay, cool. So what I was sharing before we officially started, we'll just dive right in, is we all have stories. That's the way we always talk about it here, is stories that we tell ourselves about what we are willing to do and what we are not willing to do that typically come up mostly when we start saying to ourselves or to other people, I'm going to do something different, like hiring, like I'm going to get out there and I'm going to hire, I'm going to get out of the field, I'm going to stop cleaning, all of that, until we hit a roadblock or it's not as easy as we thought it was going to be. And that's when the subconscious, up until that point, usually subconscious stories of, I'm willing to do this, but I'm not willing to do that. And whatever that is usually just outside, or maybe a little bit more outside your comfort zone. And that's when our true test comes in about how committed we are to that goal, to achieving what we say we want and not. So this is really about the stories that we tell ourselves about what we're not really willing to do. And we run into this a lot, right, Mike, in our world, when we're trying to help people with this, we run into that weird resistance. It's almost like this strange, invisible box that people put themselves in and just sit there and spin and complain that is, quote, not working. So that's what I was saying.
Let me repeat back what I heard, because it's so good. I want to make sure I didn't miss anything.
Yes.
And I hate to say this. It's so much more fun when we can kind of point at our clients, like, this is what we help them with and they need to get better. This one hits right at home because I've done this. I have not when it comes to hiring, but with other aspects of my business where I think you said it most poignantly to me, Tracy, when you're like, I'll do this, but I won't do that.
Right.
So and I do this. So please don't hear me judging. I'm judging me along with all y'all, Clean Nation. Not Tracy though. She's perfect. She never is.
Oh yeah, right. I never do this. Never.
We got one perfect person on the call today, me. Okay. So we unilaterally make deals with life or with business. Just like you said, I will do this, but I won't do that.
Right.
And I don't watch the Mandalorian, but my wife is a fan. So I've seen snippets, and there's a character in there that says something, and then someone else will say something and he'll go, I have spoken. Like that's the end of the conversation.
That's it.
Yeah. The only part I saw of Mandalorian, I'm like, I'm going to start doing that to Natalie. Like, I'm going to just start going, I have spoken. I've never done it yet because I think I'll get smacked, but no, I want to try it.
Know how that works out.
Yeah. Not well. My wife's in the shooting, so I'll probably get pistol whipped and then shot in the head, but she'll go, yeah, who's spoken now? Tough guy.
My God, she's
so sweet.
That's who's spoken.
I know. I have spoken. And I feel like that's what we do with life. Like, or with business. No, I've spoken. I think the frustrating part comes in the delusion of, well, this is what I'm willing to pay. Therefore, life must bend.
Right.
And then we spend a lot of time in frustration.
And complaining.
Well, I was just going to say in frustration, judging. I'm coming with the complaining. Either ourselves, you're so stupid, you're not good enough. Why would you do that? You big dummy, judging ourselves,
not effective, or judging life. That's not fair. The man's got it out for me. You know,
the world.
Blaming. Right. Yeah.
The world's just not set up right. It's unfair.
Right. It's, and maybe it isn't fair. I'm not even here to say whether it is or not. Like maybe gravity's not fair, but I don't, but it, I shall obey. It doesn't, it has spoken, like, right. Like, yeah. So how, I think there's two problems, three problems. One, we often don't even recognize we're doing this, right? Like when we say it, it's so clear, and maybe looking back, you can see places in your life where you've done that. I promise I can see places in my life I've done that. The problem is there's probably places I'm in my life I'm doing it now, and I need to be able to recognize those. So first problem, we don't recognize we're doing it. Second problem, we're more committed to being comfortable than we are to having the life that we want. Third problem, we don't know how to get to the next thing, right? I found when it comes to business, a lot of times with me and our clients, it's not that I'm learning new things. I'm taking the same car to the next gear, right? I'm not switching cars. I'm not switching modes of transportation, but there's a whole nother gear. And, you know, with regular cars, like, well, there's just the 5 or 6 or 7 or whatever. With business car, there's 1,000. There's always another gear. There's always another gear. So how do we A, recognize we're doing it? B, get out of that complainy, whiny, it's not my fault, I'm going to shake my fist at the skies and do nothing. And then C, embrace, because I don't want to just be able to do it and hate life. How do we do it where we actually enjoy the experience? We're like, I love switching gears. And I know there's another infinite amount of gears. I'm just going to give myself permission to be in the gear I'm in now.
Right. Okay. Wow. That was a lot. All right.
I love giving Tracy like 49 very complex questions and then just be like, I have spoken. Get to work. And then make it more traceable. Okay, let's sort all this out.
Well, there's a really, okay, I'm going to, this is, it's going to sound deceptively simple, but it really, really is. It really is simple.
By the way, she's not saying easy.
Not easy, simple.
Wildly different. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. It didn't say easy. Simple. How to identify if we have a story that is getting in our way, that's keeping us stuck, right? I'm willing to do this, but I'm not willing to do that. And usually that is exactly what you need to be doing to get out of the cycle that you're in, stuckness. So the really simple way to look at this is A, if you've been stuck more than a hot minute, you're doing it. There is a story. There is absolutely a story of unwillingness somewhere in your consciousness. And so you just know, look at your results. Have you been there more than a hot minute? If you have, then there's some story underneath that's saying, I'm not willing to do that, whatever that is. So that's the telltale sign. Simple, straightforward. If you've been stuck more than a hot minute, there is a story.
And the story could be work harder. You're not smart enough. Like that's where it gets deceptive, right? Mm-hmm. Like I've never been into drugs or alcohol, but I would imagine if I were, knowing my temperament, I would go, just work hard. Just stop it. It's bad behavior. You know, it's bad for you. Cut it out. And that's what I'm willing to pay. But life might go, you need counseling. You need maybe to make this a full-time job for a period of your time. Maybe if any of you guys haven't heard Tracy's story about her health, she had an opportunity, which is very like life endangeringly sick and could have paid a price of I'll do this, I'll do whatever. And she said, and she just shows up, I'll pay whatever price. And I think that has taken her to next level, next level, next level in other parts of her life because of what it costs. So it can be. And can I share any of the details of that, Tracy?
Oh, absolutely. It's a great example of most people, what they're willing to do or pay at that moment and the different choice that I made. And that's a good example. Yes.
Perfect. Yeah. I just don't want to start yapping about your medical history, Tracy. Like, well, no. Just because I shared that in front of a stage doesn't mean in front of the world.
I tell it all the time.
Okay. I figured you would, but let's ask permission. So Tracy was diagnosed with cancer and... I think please, this is not a thing on medical or how to
treat. No, this is about that
do what works for you. Yeah. So this is just Tracy's story. Not to say that how she responded, you want to take away the physical medical treatment. This isn't a medical podcast.
Right.
So I think a lot of people would have responded with, I'll go to the doctor that's commonly recognized as good at what he does in my area. Mm-hmm. I will go through chemotherapy, which has saved thousands, probably millions of lives.
And radiation,
mm-hmm. which is effectively poison in my body. And that's the price I'm willing to pay. Mm-hmm. And that's there are no comfortable choices when you have cancer. Let's start there. Yeah.
There were no easy answers.
That would have been about as comfortable choice as you could have selected.
Right.
Right. I mean,
it's certainly within the box.
Right. It would have been, it's a reasonable price. Like again, putting your ears in your fingers in your ears, go, no. That's, we don't do that. Right. Like for her. And again, please don't hear me. God forbid I got cancer, maybe I would take chemo. I'm not saying it's wrong, but for Tracy, right. That's certainly the easy choice in terms of it's prescribed. It's obvious. It's whatever. Mm-hmm. She decided not for me. She wanted a different kind of treatment. Mm-hmm. Of course, and I will rail against insurance companies because they're such rackets. Anyway,
wasn't paid by insurance.
Yeah, the method she was doing. So not only, I'm guessing, his friends, family, life, the news, whatever, saying alternative therapy is not effective. Her insurance,
we're
not
even gonna pay for it. Right, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, you got some sort of witch doctor. And by the way, it's not a witch doctor, but certainly alternative to chemotherapy.
Right.
And I don't remember whatever the amount was. It was a five-figure amount at least.
Mm-hmm. Well, Tracy, $12,000. Yeah.
Yeah. So $12,000. Well, you didn't have $12,000.
No.
Short version. Okay.
No.
Yeah. With that, no, wasn't just I had $11,500.
Yeah. No, I really did not have it. Like I was in a bad way at that moment. You know.
Yeah. So financially, and of course, I don't know much about cancer, but I don't think it does wonders for your money earning ability.
Oh yeah. No, right. I couldn't work.
So, yeah. So we got a lot. And by the way, I know Tracy, this woman is not I'll just sit in my butt and hope someone takes care of me kind of lady.
No.
Like, I've got cancer as an excuse. She's like,
no,
give me the wall. I'll knock it down. Let's crush this thing. All right. So anyway, all that to say, the next gear for Tracy was, I'm going to take an alternative form of therapy that I think is more effective for me mm-hmm. in my life than the traditional. I'm going to find $12,000 when I'm literally fighting that I don't have. Right.
Right.
I'm going to deal with all of that has to come with societal pressure. I'm guessing friends, family, people that loved you and truly wanted good things for you.
Yep.
I'm sure had some things to say that weren't particularly helpful in the moment. And all of those required a different gear. So it would have been very easy for Tracy just to go, if that's the deal, I'll go through chemotherapy and my insurance will pay for it.
And what was interesting is that all that you were talking about going outside of that was out of my comfort zone. It required that I go against a lot of convention and traditional advice and the constraints of family and theirs. But I knew that if I was going to do this my way, I was going to have to get way outside my comfort zone. I was going to, in more than one way, I had to get outside my comfort zone. And that's the part that is challenging for a lot of people is, well, this is what everybody else is doing. Nobody is hiring right now. Nobody can do this.
No one wants to work in my area.
Right.
It everyone's won't work. Broke. Right. No one will work.
I've tried. So I guess I'll just do what everyone else is doing. Right. In my case, it was everyone else was doing radiation and chemo and not right or wrong, but it wasn't getting the results.
Wrong for Tracy. Yeah. It wasn't getting the results that you wanted. Yeah. And just because I know the listeners, if I'm them, I'm going to be like, well, what happened? So just so you guys can relax, completely cancer free.
Yes. And I was healed. I healed myself within 6 months, my way. The thing is that I was willing to do what it took to get outside of the comfort zone that I was in, because it would have been very easy. It would have been all paid for. Everything would have been taken care of. All I had to do is just follow directions. And it would have been much easier in that sense. But because I chose to get outside of that, outside my traditional comfort zone, the comfort zone of everyone around me for that matter. And maybe you're in that situation right now where everyone's telling you, listen, it's not your fault. You nobody can hire. You're right. You should just suck it up
great.
For now.
Feels great at the moment.
Sure. Right. Because then you get to be quote righteous in your right wrongness. Right. Like you get to sell it to yourself that's just okay, I guess. Stay cleaning. Don't grow your business. Don't hire people right now. Nobody can hire. And I could have done the same thing.
Even when you tell, oh, by the way, just to close that loop, because it's such a powerful story. And again, I've never had cancer. If I did, I'd certainly call Tracy and I'd certainly talk to an oncologist or whatever. Like I'm not, right. I have no dog in this fight, but I do know people that have had cancer and go through radiation chemotherapy, oftentimes have cancer again. And there's a lot of side effects, which we do know Tracy will have zero side effects from cancer, from radiation and chemotherapy, because she's had no radiation chemotherapy. So that is,
And I was healthier than ever.
Yeah.
And I've been healthier than ever.
And the cool thing is, God forbid I'm going to get struck by lightning, but not that we'd ever wish cancer on somebody, but I think that could be what God knew that you needed in your life at that time to Absolutely. Become the woman that he's like, I have a bigger plan for you. And yes. guess what? Maybe you took the chemotherapy and maybe you're completely healed and had no side effects and was completely free. You still didn't build the muscle that you need to build in your life. Again, this isn't for everybody, but for you, that's, you're like, I almost wish I could have known that, Tracy, because I bet you she would be confusing to me, like based on how I know you. Like I'd be like, this isn't like, this is the same body. This looks like the woman I know, but this is not Tracy. Like, I think you have to be just a wildly different person after going through that.
Oh, absolutely. And I think the real moral of the story here for everyone is, listen, if you're out there right now and you're struggling in your business, in your cleaning company business, in whether it be hiring, which is highly likely because a lot of challenges are coming around that, or it's something else. If you're hitting that wall, right? And maybe you have a lot of people around you saying, well, it's not your fault. Everybody's, you know, well, it's just the way it is. And you're tempted to allow that story to be the one that keeps you where you are, even if you're, quote, right about it. You're like, I call it righteous, you know, being righteous about your rightness, your story. And you buy into that. Here's the thing. And Mike, you say it all the time. It's about making a decision. If you decide that you're going to change it, I decided. Once I decided, I threw everything I had at that commitment and that goal and that decision. There was no
and I'm
halfway
guessing
in, halfway
I'm
out.
I'm guessing at the beginning you thought, and I'm doing the kind of the hand size here for the podcast listeners, the cost would be this much, this big. And I'm guessing, and we've talked about this, with the real cost, and I'm not talking about the money, but overall was much, much larger. But you were kind of like, and had it been double that again, I think you'd have been like, yeah, I'm in for it. Whatever. Like whatever the cost, I shall pay. Yeah. Yeah. I'm fighting. I'm literally fighting for my life. I got nothing else. Either this works or it doesn't. And God forbid someone has to get cancer to get there. But for you, and again, I hate to say it, that's part of the problem. When it's cancer, it's almost, please don't hear me disparaging what you went through, Tracy. In some regard, it's easier because she knew I'm going to.
Because it's obvious.
Right. But with cleaning, we tell ourselves these stories. And let me know if any of these sound familiar. And maybe they're even half truths. I like cleaning. I feel good cleaning.
Uh-huh.
Like, yeah, okay.
It's not that big a deal.
Yeah. I remember when I had my construction company, sometimes I'd envy, and I'm doing little air quotes because it wasn't real envy. It's just an appreciation for the guys would go out. There'd be an empty construction site. They'd do a day's work. They would see a result. They would come home. They'd go maybe have some beers or hang out with their family or do whatever. And they didn't give another thought to the business. Right. Well, that wasn't my reality.
Right.
And I could envy that in a way that didn't hurt me. I was like, yeah, that's a different thing. And they get paid a different thing. And we're just different lives. And if that's what I wanted, I could have that, but I don't want that. I want this. Mm-hmm. But had I gone, oh, I really envy that I could do construction all day, but it's just a lie and excuse to go. I'm sure Tracy, quote unquote, envied the people who could just go in and get poison put in their body and have to deal with that set of things. It was more passive, right? Like once the doctor puts in the chemo, you're kind of just living, right?
You're
like,
you're there along for the ride.
Yeah. It's passive. Whatever happens, happens. You prayer probably is your best bet at that point. So we can tell ourselves a bunch of stories that feel better. Chemo's not that bad for, and again, please don't hear me knocking chemo. I'm sure again, if I got cancer, I would absolutely go talk to an oncologist to see what they had to say. And I'd absolutely talk to Tracy. But
continuing to clean, isn't that
I bad? Love cleaning. Yeah. I love this. I love, we make up a bunch of stories to kind of let ourselves off the hook. So how do we, now that I think we've spent a lot of time getting clear on the problem, How do we move from that, Tracy, when we are reticent to pay the price or we're trying to negotiate with reality and the reality is absolutely unwilling and unbending? I don't say what's the solution, but what's the action that we can take? How do we move forward?
Well, what I was saying just a moment ago, I'm going to go back to, because that's our launching point. Decide. Mm-hmm. Decide one way or the other. If you're going to stay in cleaning and that's it, and that's your decision, then you own that. Stop railing against it. Stop complaining about it. If that's good, I'm going to own a job. I'm going to stay being the primary cleaner, and that's what I'm going to do. Great. Do it and own it. But if that isn't what you want, if you are committed, you decided to hire team and to grow, and that you are not going to just be somebody who owns a cleaning job, if you're committed to that, decide. And I know that sounds simple, right? Sounds like almost too simple. But
so let me even push back on that. I decided before, Tracy, but then I lost my will. I lost my gut. I decided.
But it only starts with the decision.
Okay.
That's not where it ends.
So say I'm deciding to the best of my ability now. And I'll be honest, Tracy, I feel like that decision's not strong enough. Like the way Mike talks about it, it's so definitive and I'm all in. And I'm guessing, looking back on your decision with the cancer, it felt I made a decision, that was it, and I was bulletproof. But I'm guessing you probably made the best decision you could that terrified you and you wanted to wobble sometimes and go backwards. And it was more of a, you know, we want this clean magic bullet we don't have, but how do we?
No, you got to keep deciding.
Yeah. So what do we do after we made the first decision that we feel like it's the best I got now, but it's probably not enough? What's step two and three?
Well, when you decide, and I'm a big fan of Tony Robbins, so I like the way he frames this, is you never leave the scene of a decision without taking a massive action towards it.
Hold and on, then you write it down, our kids.
Right?
Never leave the
never
scene
leave
of a decision.
The scene of a decision.
Without taking
a massive action towards it. Right. Because here's the truth. A decision without action is really just an idea. It's just a thought. Thoughts don't change things. Thoughts alone don't change anything. Okay. So deciding, telling yourself, I've decided, and then not taking the massive action and continuing to decide again, and then take another action and decide again and take another action, is it's the worst kind of self-sabotage, is what it is, because it's the worst deception. We keep telling ourselves, oh, but I decided, but we don't do anything about it. It's like me saying, I'm deciding to get fit, but I never leave the house. I don't move my body. I don't change my title. Like, okay, good luck with that. That's just a nice idea.
So
get real with yourself.
And by the way, I would either decide to do something and take a big action, or decide to let myself off the hook and not beat the crap out of myself. You know, like pick one.
Right.
Don't take the worst of both worlds, which is
saying
I want to do it, not doing it, to beat myself up and repeat. So
that's what I mean when I say decide and take ownership of it. So if you're deciding to stay in cleaning, do that and let yourself off the proverbial self-abuse hook.
At least for a time, right? You don't have to do it forever, but go for 90 days. I'm not going to think about not cleaning or hiring.
Right.
In 90 days, I'll pick it up. Okay. Right. So there's two kinds of folks. One is not a fast start, that massive action will be very scary for, but once they do it, that should probably give them enough momentum to go forward.
Yes.
Then there's me, which represents a lot of people, which is a fast start. We love the fast action. We'll do the big thing. Boom, boom, boom. Let's go. But then when the next thing comes up, now we kind of lose our steam a little bit. How do you coach each one of those? Because they each have a different thing. The first one's going to be harder to take the massive action, but more likely to continue. The fast starter, kind of my type of thing, will take the massive action a little easier, but it's a lot easier for him to quit or her to quit.
So both, to me, ultimately require the same thing. I mean, some people, some very, very few people, but there are a few out there, small percentage that can continue to do this on their own by themselves. But what I have found is that we need support and leverage. We need to have another person or people around us. And in my case, with the cancer story, I didn't have my family. So I had to surround myself with other people. Mm-hmm. I needed to have like the doctor that I went to, the people that were in that particular clinic, like they were behind my commitment to do that. And so I needed that support and leverage. So I think really a key here, step phase two in that, is whether you're the slow starter and therefore you need it right away. You need somebody to, you know, be there for you, hold your hand, mentor you, show you, get that leverage. Or you're the fast starter, you've started, and now you're like, okay, I got to keep going. Either way, I think a big key to this is finding that support and leverage other people.
Yeah. And we'll kind of end there, because a lot of what we do, guys, when I started, by the way, I think I wrote my first book, I'm a Freaking Genius, Why Is This Business So Hard? Then we started the podcast. Mm-hmm. It took like a year or two maybe to get this program that we have working, because I kept hearing people say, exactly, I love your book, Mike. They had all the information, but they couldn't get the transformation. Mm-hmm. And what Tracy just talked about is the key. It is community. It's being around the right people. It's telling yourself the right story. It's having other people that support you as opposed to don't support you. So for those of you that are like, God bless it, I signed in to learn how to hire and they didn't talk anything about that. That's all we just talked about, right? I promise you, obviously we've got the tools and we can help you on what to do and how to do it. But until you've decided, until you surround yourself with the right community, it's a son of a gun. Like Tracy, I think had you just had that doctor and maybe met him once a week for an hour, but no other community, right? The only community was the people around you that were telling you it's not going to work. You're a pretty powerful lady. I don't know that you'd have been able to do it, right? You need other human beings that are on the same page with you, that can support you and kind of stand against the world, right?
And I sought that out. I knew I needed it. In my heart of hearts, I knew I needed community, and I found it. That was my commitment to myself. So yes, absolutely.
And it's funny because the community can be like, you, that's how cults start, right? That's a community. And those people are so, and I'm not saying Tracy's in a cult. If it did, God bless them. They saved her life, but
cult of healing.
Yeah. So it's, we don't have to get judgmental, but just, we are so desperate as humans to have that community. We shall find it, at any price. So what I was saying about the books and the podcast and all that, the reason we do what we do and we have a community is because we know it's so important. Like I wish just me coaching you alone would be enough to make that transformation. Mm-hmm. And so if you're like, I need that, I need a community, I need more help. Yes. Again, we've got 700 podcasts. I've got 2 books. There's all the information you're ever going to want. We've got a Facebook group of like 15,000 people. The problem with that community, it's kind of big. You can get lost and you don't know who's, you know, it's not all the same community, right? We're just, the only requirement to be in that community is owner of a cleaning company. So if you're like, I think I need people that are a little more like-minded to really support me in a much more in-depth way, go to growmycleaningcompany.com. Step one is there's a completely free on-demand training. That's where I'd start. At the end of that, we can help get you connected with a person, no charge, to just help you get some clarity on next steps. But we as a Grow My Cleaning Company, you know, as Cleaning Nation, we try and want to be that community, but we can only do it, you know, like if Tracy was in a group of 20,000 cancer survivors, that might be a little bit of help, but she's going to need a couple dozen or two or three or some people that she can really connect with. So if that's what you would like, that's why we are all here to do what we do. Go to growmycleaningcompany.com. Everything's free. Start with the on-demand training, also free. And that would be the massive action you could take now. Check it out now. I'll see you there.
Well, here we are, the end of the podcast, and you made it. Great job. I've got a little bonus for you before for sticking through with me, but like I mentioned before, if you got value out of this podcast and you want to show a little love, subscribe, rate, and review on iTunes, Spotify, wherever the heck you're listening to this thing, share with a friend, share the love. And as a special thank you for those of you that stuck with me to the end, how about I give you my personal phone number so we can text? It's a great way for me to get to know you, your business, your goals personally. So shoot me a text now, 602-932-6431. 602-932-6431. I am the only one who responds to these texts, and I will personally respond to everyone I possibly can as long as this number is manned. Don't know how long we're going to keep this at the end of the podcast, so grab it now. 602-932-6431. Give me a text. Say hey. Can't wait to meet you.